These NPF conferences are very important because it is complying with the dictates of the part of ZANU-PF that at such a time the organs of the party, the provincial organs, the district and the other superior organs shall convene to discuss issues of national interest in the topic or to its membership. This year the theme is more on indigenization. As you know that the policies of government emanates from the political parties that are ruling, and we they are doing a very good thing to discuss indigenization, where we understand that the secretary for indigenization in the Politburo, Honorable Kasukwere, shall give a report back and also suggest on the way forward so that members can consider that. The other issue again is to discuss or formalize the endorsement of their first secretary of the party to be the party's candidate in the next forthcoming election. And of course, other attendant issues will be dealt with. But of interest to note is that all representatives of the diplomatic mission who are invited to come there together with other representatives from other progressive liberation struggle movement.
Let me go to Mr. Rohanya. First of all, what do you make of this year's ZANU-PF conference, and also how significant is the fact that ZANU-PF is floating the issue of indigenization as their main theme this year?
Firstly, there is nothing new about the holding of that conference. Those are political rituals that ZANU-PF engages every year to renew the political legitimacy of their leader, President Mugabe. But fundamentally, at the level of leadership change, leadership renewal, there is nothing new. And the idea that Mugabe has never been contested since 1977 to date internally in ZANU tells us that that political institution called ZANU-PF is a political oligarchy, is a political monarchy, which is allergic and an aberration to internal democratic practices. Moving to the issue of indigenization, yes, person of indigenization, if you look at it, it is very seductive, it is very romantic, but the problem is delivery. Romance has no baby, and it is at the level of delivery that it has problems, in that it is engulfed in corruption. The top leadership, the elite are the beneficiaries, and the masses are used to confirm and endorse a political oligarchy that serves elite economic interests. But the policy, looking at it, at face value, good policy, but at the level of delivery, zero.
Mr. Msalala, what do you make of what Mr. Rohanya is saying, that this seems to be a political ritual that ZANU-PF engages in every year? How democratic is ZANU-PF when there's always only one candidate?
You see, I don't know what you mean when you say there's nothing new. New to who? ZANU-PF must be judged according to its own rules and regulations. What happens with events preceding to the conference is that provinces or provincial structures of the revolutionary parties, ZANU-PF, meet and discuss on certain issues that they want to be taken to the conference. This again is what Chama Chama Pinduzi do. The same with ANC.
But the ANC has had several leaders since coming into power in the 90s. Why is it ZANU-PF has failed to have different leaders?
As far as I understand, they have invited the debate over the issue of succession. They have invited anyone to come up forward who is keen to participate, and none has come up forward. And I think, Mr. I suggest to my brother, Mr. Rohanya, to join ZANU-PF and probably come and also put his name in the hat. Now, if he doesn't, then let those in ZANU-PF make their own choice whether to contest or not to contest. The issue of President Mugabe, people know that with the current pressures ZANU-PF have vis-a-vis sanctions, illegal sanctions, vis-a-vis the hostilities of the West, the person who can fight forward and move forward is President Mugabe. And they've endorsed that. And I don't know of any democratic process that is better than that. But if you look at it again, look at MDC. MDC, when it started, it had a limitation in terms of presidential term. And that two-term has expired. Prime Minister, who is the president of the party, is still there. So really, if you look at ZANU-PF, it has frequently and occasionally held its own elections. Now, you can't say there's only one part. There mustn't be any. There should have been more people to contest President Mugabe. When the party, when the constitution of ZANU-PF is very clear that it does not have any limitations to term, people can put their name in the air, the provinces will decide. That's it. So this is what is there. People want President Mugabe. Anyone who wants to come to change, to have things change in ZANU-PF should come and join ZANU-PF and to try to sponsor their motions as they wish.
But ZANU-PF has fired in the past. It fired those in 1998 who had the motion when ZANU-PF had the monopoly in parliament, Mafaire, and his non-slogan Mugabe must go. What happened to Mafaire? In 2004, during the Cholocho declaration, when certain provincial chairpersons decided that they would yes, Mnangagwa, what happened? Those provincial chairpersons were expelled from the party. And after being expelled, Mnangagwa was demoted. Jonathan Moyo was fired only to come 2 years ago. So ZANU-PF is allergic. It is an antithesis of democracy. It is an aberration of democratic values. There is enough evidence to suggest that ZANU-PF, under the leadership of Mugabe, is anachronistic and against the democratic ethos.
But Mr. Rwanya,
I'm saying Mr. Rwanya must not try to cry more than the bereaved. The issues there are very clear. That Honorable Mnangagwa has denied that he ever had the presidential ambition. So I don't know what he's talking about. We want to deal with facts and facts that are there on the ground. And if you want to speculate, I'm sorry, I cannot be part of this discussion. But if you want to argue on facts, let's argue on facts. And I think that's a progressive and civil thing to do.
Mr. Rwanya, can you comment specifically to those two issues that Mr. Msarara raised, that ZANU-PF people are seem to be endorsing President Mugabe?
You have seen that each time we have that conference, the ZANU-PF provinces unanimously say they want Mugabe, and they say he has been elected democracy. You cannot talk of an election without a choice.
And
also, the consequences are valid. I talked about the motion that was put in place by the likes of Gamai Mafaire, and where they were saying Mugabe must go. But before the procedural congress of ZANU could take place, Mafaire was history only to be readmitted. Prior to the 2004 Congress, the ZANU-PF Congress in 2004, there were meetings that were taking place in provinces. And in Cholocho, there was a meeting of provincial chairpersons of ZANU, who also are part of the congressional delegations of ZANU. They made a decision that they will have Mnangagwa as their own person. And before the Congress took place, Mugabe appeared at the national airport and said, no, the post of the vice president is for a woman. And Mujuru was declared without a due process. And the chairperson was... So if those who meet to decide the next contestant of Mugabe are thwarted, fired before the Congress, how then can they challenge Mugabe at the Congress when they are fired before the gathering takes place?
What about the other issue that Mr. Msarara raised on the issue of the MDC and the changing of constitution?
Tsvangirai, before the split, there was a provision to say that the president of the party will serve 2 terms. But when the MDC split in 2005, that provision was removed, and they put a provision which says that when the president of the party assumes state power, or when he is president of the party, he shall serve 2 terms of 5 years each as the head of state, and that 5 year term will run concurrently with his leadership of the party. So I think what the MDC was trying to do while they were in opposition was just simply being overzealous. to say that they will change their leader even before they assume the office.
Mr. Msara, yeah, you see, do you agree, let me ask you a question,
but
Mr. Msara.
The difference is that Mugabe has been in president, he has been in power since 1980, effectively executive president since 1987.
This program is a discussion. Please, let a chair and then we talk, you understand?
Mr. Msara, Mr. Msarara, there are many who say the two main political parties in Zimbabwe are built around personalities or two people, President Mugabe and Prime Minister Tsvangirai in particular, and that now there's a leadership crisis because there are no other people who can come in to take over from these two. What do you make of that?
No, you see, in respect of ZANU-PF, as far as I understand it, and by the way, I have no briefing from ZANU-PF to speak on his behalf. My personal view is that there's no leadership crisis. There's confidence. People have confidence in how President Mugabe is really run the show. If you look at, he's a consistent man. He said the land should go to the people. MDC said, no, it's a wrong program. He pushed it, and he stood by that. And the MDC had to sign in the GPA to say, yes, land is defensible. He said that the indigenization must proceed. And the opposition said, no, indigenization must not proceed. And two, Tsvangirai had to agree in cabinet that, yes, let the law run. So it is that trade, that kind of DNA, that gives people confidence, and indeed in general in Africa, that when you have a leader who sticks to the gun to say this is the policy I'm pushing forward, let's do it. And you can see that all ZANU-PF policies have been consistent because of the leadership of President Mugabe. With regards to MDC, I believe that their choice is their democratic right as a party. But they cannot now call another kettle black when they're also black. I say this in the sense that they've changed their constitution to accommodate President Tsvangirai. And their constitution provides for that amendment, and that's fine. So as much they should respect ZANU-PF's decision to have President Mugabe as their party, in as much they want their right to and choice of President Tsvangirai to remain in power, supported by the constitution. So this is very democratic, and parties must be judged according to their own rules and what they want. If parties wants to go out, have a leader for the next 20 years, let that be. But you don't want to create certain rules for ZANU-PF and certain rules for MDC.
What do you think, Mr. Ruhanya? Parties formed around individuals?
If they do, I can tell you that as the sun rises from the east and sets in the west, surely both parties will die when their leader, when their two leaders become, useless. If Mugabe goes, then it therefore means that ZANU will go. And if Tsvangirai goes, it therefore also means that MDC will go, which is very naive and very anachronistic. There must be people in both political parties who are able to equally defend the ethos of that political institution in an equal manner and in a forceful manner, the same manner Mugabe or Tsvangirai would do. For instance, my friend was talking about Mugabe having done one. He's saying that none in ZANU would have said we want the land reform program, none in ZANU would have said that they want the indigenization. Is it something sophisticated for anyone in ZANU to do? There should be no excuses for long incumbents. Long incumbents, either in MDC, in ZANU-PF, is not in the interest of this country. So if the MDC wants to create a political monarchy in their president, that is undemocratic. So it's the same in ZANU. We want leaders to be renewed, and if you look at the examples that you talked about for liberation movements, you talk ANC, they have literally been renewed. Currently, Mohlange, the vice president, has been nominated by four provinces in South Africa. We are going for Congress on 16 December. But no district, no province has been dissolved because Mohlange has done it in Zuma. But ZANU dissolves, he fires, and he intimidates.
Mr. Msarara, ZANU-PF claims that it has sold 700,000 new membership cards. So how significant is this as we head for elections?
No, this is important. This is procedural. That as you approach elections, a party must revive its membership to make sure that it is in place. And this is done by re-registering members and especially what we call the swing vote. There are people who are staunch MBC, there are people who are staunch ZANU-PF. And those ones, you rarely expect people to cross floors on that one. But the majority of the people are not politically active, but they vote. And those are the people that the ZANU-PF, as I see it, they are going after, to have those people to say, can you be our members? And people are making decisions based on the events of the past 4 years to say which party has honored its manifesto. ZANU-PF has its own, MDC has its own. And this is important because now they're doing a build-up to say if they win an election with 2 million votes, they'll be able to account for it. To say, you see, we did our membership registration, we got so much people, and this is important. But one commendable thing is that so far ZANU-PF has been doing this for the past few weeks. There have not been any cases of violence. That means the process is going peacefully. And I think my brother, Ranya, on the other end of the line, agrees that political activities of this nature must occur, like what is happening now, without violence. And the ZANU-PF must be commended, in my view.
Mr. Ranya?
Yes, what I disagree with is to make a logical deduction between registration and the voting patterns. People can register, they can be seduced by political parties, they can be asked by political parties to register, but it doesn't follow that when you register or when you are asked to register by a political party, it follows that you vote for that political party. We still have a long way to go to election, and the elections, processes, campaigns, you see a lot of changes that will take place. People may register under MDC or being persuaded by MDC, but it doesn't follow that they will vote for MDC. The vote will be a secret vote. No one knows who will vote for which political party until the outcome of an electoral process. But we know, given the past elections, that some political players would want to use that number, which number is not verifiable, to say that when certain things become problematic or when elections are contested, they will say, we register this number. And therefore, there is no logical correlation between registering people and voting for you. But having said that, it is the legitimate right, the constitutional right of any political party to ask voters to vote, to register, and even to vote for them. But how they will vote is a secret and will be determined by an electoral outcome.